Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny, Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock. It is a Redskins Friday, the big one at 1. We're getting you set for the Cowboys on Dallas week. Chris Russell is our Redskins insider, and he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Chris, how much different a matchup is this with the selection of Daron Payne, the health of Jonathan Allen, and the Redskins offense now being run first, pass second with Alex Smith at the controls?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's different, right? I mean, just think about, you know, on the offensive side, not only is it run first, or at least that's the mentality that we think has been the proven formula. You know, last week, they didn't run enough, in my opinion. They were too pass happy at times. Certainly in New Orleans, it was a little bit of a different game plan to attack a weaker pass defense. But in the games that they won previous to last week, it was run first. But in the last matchup between these two teams in early last December, their offensive line was literally just in shambles. So it's a better run attack. It's a more committed run attack. It's a healthier, not a completely healthy offensive line. And then, again, you mentioned Jonathan Allen, Grant. And, of course, he was out already. And they didn't have Daron Payne at that point. Those two guys can help stop the run. They're so athletic. They can get down the line. And they're going to need it, because if Dallas blocks the way they did on the perimeter last week against Jacksonville, if they do it with their pulls and their tight ends and getting out in space, then the Redskins are going to be in for a long day at the office.
Russell, you may not have heard, I opened the show with this view. I'm going to the Chris Russell school of winning football here for this week.
My
basic gist is, let me give you my chain of logic. I want your comment. My fear chain is this: obvious passing downs. This offensive line, I think, will be tormented by the stunts, yes, the games, the stuff. And this is the best defensive front the Redskins, I think, have played this year. 39 quarterback hits, right? And they do what the Colts do, but better. I'm terrified of those situations. You need to be out of those situations, period, end of story. You cannot have obvious passing downs. I think that the running game, Peterson, if Thompson's able to go, that has to be great to have everything at their disposal. I think you need to establish the run and out Cowboys the Cowboys.
Yeah, and basically what you're kind of getting at, Danny, is you can't be third and seven plus, right? You can't be living in that neighborhood all day long. Otherwise, you have no chance, basically. I mean, barring, you know, a miracle, because it doesn't even look like Crowder is going to play. And Richardson, guys, I'm telling you, I was out there yesterday. Very pessimistic tone in Jay Gruden's voice. I don't know if he's going to play or not. They may be overly cautious here, which is how he described his evaluation with a doctor, while saying he's not undergoing an MRI, but this has been a nagging knee thing. So, I mean, if you factor that along with Crowder almost definitively being out, you know, you would think run first. And again, just from look, you don't want to be third and seven plus in this league to begin with, never mind against this defensive line. And it only got better. It only got better, this defensive line, last week when they added Irving back. And Irving has tortured the Redskins over the years with interior pressure. So I'm with you. You want to be third and one, third and two. This is when that offense so far this year has been humming, because they can run jet motion sweep off of that. They can traditionally hand off. They can screen game. They can do whatever they really want, and they usually operate with a high level of efficiency.
Chris Russell, Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Redskins Cowboys, 2 days away at FedEx Field. All right, so come Sunday afternoon, the one thing I can't have is receivers running free. Dallas's weapons aren't good enough. They have no speed. Yep. They can't explode. They don't get separation. They're going to run the ball on you. Number one, yards per play. Number two, rushing offense. But they can't throw the ball. Number 29 overall, 28th in yards per play. Do you need to devise a plan, Norman, Dunbar, Moreau? Do you just go out there and play man coverage and say, if you can't figure it out this week, we got big problems?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Grant. I mean, the one guy that I would say gives me a little bit of pause based on what I saw last week against Jacksonville would be the young kid, Michael Gallup, third-round pick, I think number 80 or 81 overall, roughly, out of Colorado State. He had a spectacular catch that would have been a touchdown if he would have gotten the second part of his half foot inbounds. It was a brilliant catch, and he had a 27-yard go route along the far sideline as well, in which he climbed the ladder. So I would be a little bit nervous about him, I guess. Hearns doesn't really make me nervous. Certainly Beasley in the slot. But, I mean, is Beasley going to tear apart Fabian Moreau like he did the nickel corner for Jacksonville? I think Fabian Moreau is pretty damn good, and he's longer, and he's, you know, kind of, I guess, more physical. So I'm with you. I would expect more of that. And that also means, right, more probably blitz packages from Greg Minuski. And quite honestly, you wouldn't have to blitz as much, and they don't want to blitz as much, but they can't generate that big-time natural pass rush. And if you need to against this offensive line, which still isn't as good as it used to be because Travis Frederick isn't there, but they still have Zach Martin, they still have Tyron Smith at left tackle, you're probably going to have to blitz a little bit more than ideally you would like. So I think that's all in concert with each other.
Follow Chris Russell at WrestleMania621. Provoke him and get in a Twitter fight with him. Ah! It's always the best.
No. I'm trying to put that to bed. I'm really going to take on a new leaf. Some tragic events that happened this week. I'm going to just try and ignore the morons and block and mute them. And just try and live a cleaner and more happier and appreciative life.
Good for you, Russell.
I want to know how long that's going to last.
I was going to say there's an over under and it's a matter
great,
of hours.
It's
a matter
probably
of hours.
Probably until the third quarter on Sunday.
So I give it about 48 hours.
Russell, you put this in my mind, and I actually think you're dead right about this. I have seen this play out 600 million times against the Dallas Cowboys. All the action goes one way. Here comes the Dak Prescott boot the other way. Mm-hmm. He's got options. Yeah. He can run it himself, flip it to a tight end for an exasperating gain, for a backbreaker, et cetera, et cetera, near, medium, far. To me, this is a game where the Redskins defensive ends / outside linebackers, whatever you want to call them, Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, it may not be a great sack game for them, which I know nobody wants to hear because they haven't accumulated very many so far this year. But what they did against Carolina, against that read option, some of those looks, I think was huge. You're going to have to do that. Plus, the assignment sound and dynamic and explosive against some of those boots to try to negate that advantage that Dallas may have on the Redskins. I think they've got to have great games, both of them, and whoever ends up in those spots, be they Anderson, Pernell McPhee, whoever else, I think that's massive here this week.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And again, I just said you may have to blitz more than ideally you'd like, and that's exactly why you don't want to blitz. But if you're playing more man coverage, like we kind of discussed earlier, that might allow you, again, to send extra heat in certain situations, more so than you, would normally like to do. Now, but I'm with you on that. I don't necessarily trust Preston Smith on backside boots and in space in coverage, so that makes me worried. But this is the first time the Redskins will not have to deal with Jason Witten, right? I mean, forever, Jason Witten had a good amount of success, if not great success, against the Redskins. This is also the first time the Redskins have not had to deal with Dez Bryant. So there are some different things about this Dallas offense, but certainly that is one of them. And it's not only the backside boots and the play action front side boots, it's also the read option. And Dak had a pull for a touchdown last week. And again, what I would worry about is you could be in the right spot, but if they block on the edge and on the perimeter, like I saw them do on that game against Jacksonville. And again, that might be just one isolated game against a really good defense. If they block like that, you can be in the right position and still get manhandled at the point of attack. That's where I think this game is going to be decided. Tackling and whether you can beat those blocks on the perimeter.
Chris, what will be your spin if the Redskins are 4-2 on Monday versus if they're 3-3?
I think, and I told Chad this earlier this week, at 4-2, beating Dallas, even though it's at home, with this defense coming in, and I do think you can pass against this defense outside of – you know, outside of Byron Jones, I'm a believer at 4-2. I'm not saying slam dunk division champions, slam dunk playoffs, but for the first time this year, at 4-2, beating the Cowboys, winning two games in a row, especially if it's impressive, but even if it's just a 3-point win, I'm a believer.
Russell, love it, buddy. At WrestleMania621, tweeting that the NHL gets the exact right amount of coverage and see if he responds or not. Love you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy.
We'll see you, pal. There
he goes.
It's a good
way to smoke him out.
Yeah. Dude, it's chum in the water, okay? It is a lamb. God bless his new leaf. That leaf will be burned by a crazy kid with a magnifying glass.
Just throw some smoke into the room, and eventually he'll come out. That smoke is anything about the NHL that he disagrees with. Love that. What are the best five games in the league this weekend other than Redskins-Cowboys? I've got my rankings prepared. You know how this works. I'll give them to Danny. He'll tell me what I got right, what I got wrong next on G&D on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Danny is in our D.C. studios. I'm in Houston, although I will be flying back this afternoon. I'm at some hipster Silicon Valley-like place where people come to rent offices to work and sit in beanbags and eat Cheetos. Apparently, there is talk of goat yoga here at some point this afternoon, Danny.
That's yoga, but there are goats that mill about. That's a thing.
I'm sure there's a room where you can have puppies while you work, which I wish I was broadcasting from that room. You would hate that room, obviously. You would leave that room immediately.
Very distracting.
Goat yoga might be my play afterwards, though. Maybe there's a place I can get a massage. By the way, if there's not a nap pod somewhere in this building, I'll eat my shoe.
Well, the goat might eat your shoe also. That's one of the things they do. They go through trash.
Don't you think this has to be the kind of spot where, like, everyone has to take a nap and give you snacks?
Yeah,
stuff?
Of course. They give you a place to hang up your skull cap, even if it's 90 degrees.
Exactly.
Hipsters always need that.
They do. Everybody needs a place to hang their cap.
Hang up your mustache.
I got my top five games of the NFL weekend. You ready?
Give them to me.
So this is Redskins-Cowboys not included, because we've been talking about that one all day. This is outside of D.C. Number five for me. I don't love this one, but it just barely made the list. You got a chance to watch maybe the second-best team in football, New England, 4-2, take on the Chicago Bears. The Bears are 3-2, and as of this moment, still a first-place team in the NFC North. They are a half game ahead of Green Bay and Minnesota. Those two teams are nipping at their heels. Are the Bears for real? Defensively, can Khalil Mack get to Tom Brady? Can they force a couple takeaways, get New England off the field? I still think Mitchell Trubisky's not any good, and I think he will be their undoing, but maybe he finds a way to have a big game and proves me wrong. Bears are in first place. Patriots are in first place, so this cracks my list at number five.
I love that one. I love that call, because Chicago, again, sneaky 4-2. There they are. Right? They are in a pretty good spot in a division that all of a sudden looks winnable. Excuse me, they're 3-2, but a chance to go 4-2. They've had the bye week as well. I like this matchup because they've got Tariq Cohen more involved than they did the first couple games of the season. That's going to give New England problems. I think Chicago's going to be able to score because New England's defense ain't great. But at the same time, we just saw the Chicago defense look pretty vulnerable on the road against Brock Osweiler and the Miami Dolphins. So I think everybody's going to be okay scoring the ball in that game.
Yeah, and if you just want to dismiss the Bears, which I've been trying to pretty often this year, I think you're overlooking the fact that they've outscored their opponents by 43 points. Just as a comp, the Saints are plus 40. I mean, the only team in the conference that has a better margin in scoring is the LA Rams. Nobody else does. Twice as good a margin as anybody in the NFC East. So not only have they won, but they've won handily. They've played very well in explosive games. Remember, they had the 6-touchdown game from Mitchell Trubisky,
mm-hmm.
and they've also only allowed 96 points. You look around the rest of the NFC for teams that have allowed less than 100 points, you will not find another one. It's Chicago and Baltimore in the entire NFL that have done that. So that defense is phenomenal. They got a chance to upset the Patriots. Number four on my list, I got the Texans and the Jaguars. Look, the AFC South is disgusting.
And I hate it.
That division will have a winner and a playoff team that gets bounced immediately in the playoffs. But in the meantime, someone's got to win the sucker. This is a first-place game. I think Tennessee loses to the Chargers this weekend. What that means is they're 3-4. So the winner of Jacksonville-Houston is your front runner going into the midway point of the year to win the South. I want to find out about the Jags, who have scored 17 fewer points than they've allowed. It looks like they're just a team right now. They're a bunch of Jags, literally and figuratively. Are they actually better than they've played, or is this who they are now? The Texans, in my opinion, also pedestrian at best. They've been outscored this season. But one of these two teams may well win the division, and the winner in this game is going to have the best chance to do so.
Home road splits, man. Jacksonville, a different team at home. They've got wins over the Patriots, 31-20. Win over the Jets, 31-12. Weird loss against Tennessee, but they only allowed 9 points in that game. On the road, they've given up totals of 30 and 40 points over the last 2 weeks. So if Jacksonville's at home, maybe they can play well. I don't know, but that one actually was my also receiving votes game. I get it. Someone's got to win that stupid division. That's the AFC version of the NFC East. So for that reason, because I hate the division so much, I'm clearly biased. I don't have as much interest in that game as I do one of the others, but it was on the in the nomination process.
I'm intrigued now as to what you put on your list that I didn't. I've got the Panthers and the Eagles third. Carolina coming off of a tough loss to the Redskins. They came all the way back and ended up losing a one-possession game when they got stopped at Washington's 16-yard line. Philadelphia seems to have maybe figured it out now offensively. Alshon Jeffrey is healthy, caught 2 touchdowns last week. Carson Wentz has played very well since returning from his injury, showing no signs of a torn ACL. Their defense is not at the level that it was when it got to a Super Bowl and won last year, but their defensive line on paper still looks like a group that can wreak havoc. Is Carolina going to stay in the first-place picture in the South? Will they lose another game and at that point be just a 500 team? 3-3 Philly, 3-2 Carolina, my number three game of the weekend.
That is my number two game. I am intrigued by that because this is a chance for each one, as you said, to kind of put a stamp on where they are and what they're going to be. Philadelphia won a game here recently where they probably shouldn't have. They sort of found a way to, quote, gut through it, et cetera. And they've got a chance to take control once again to be the best team in the NFC East. Carolina, same way. You can't afford to fall too far behind this New Orleans Saints club, who right now stands at 4-1. They're better than Tampa, better than Atlanta, but the NFC's deep, and Carolina, who I think is pretty good, has a chance to kind of put a stamp on it. Plus, for the Redskins' purposes, obviously, this is the most important non-Redskins game of the weekend, I would say.
Bengals-Chiefs is my number two game. Mm-hmm. I've got two teams that are combined 9-3 here, two first-place clubs representing the North and the West, respectively. So you know how I feel about Cincinnati. I was wrong about them at the beginning of the year. I thought they'd be 6-10, 7-9 at best. They're 4-2 right now, and they look like they've got a chance to make the playoffs. But I have expected that they were playing above their heads and that they would crash back down to earth. They did lose to Pittsburgh, little pendulum swinger in that division this past weekend. But if they could bounce back and beat Kansas City, it would do two things. Number one, it would steady them still atop the North, and it would make you think they're a true contender to win that division. But number two, it would send some ripple effects around the AFC. At that point, the Chiefs will have lost twice in a row. The Bengals will be tied with Kansas City for the second-best record in the conference, and it may even be the best record by the end of the weekend, pending some other results. So it would be the type of matchup where they would start to get national attention and credit as being one of the top five teams in football, and they might crack our power rankings next week. As far as the Chiefs go, I give them a mulligan. You lost to Tom Brady being Tom Brady in the New England Patriots.
Great game,
I think
too.
A lot of teams are going to lose that way. They're going to bounce right back and beat Cincinnati, and if they do, it's the Rams number one, it's the Chiefs number two, and everybody fighting for third place. They'd be 6-1 after this game, but I think this is going to be an awesome matchup.
Compelling game, as you said. Kansas City looking to bounce back. This was around the time last year, remember, where they went from juggernaut offense, unstoppable, to they can't get out of their own way, and they went kind of into a nosedive. Has the league figured it out? We will see, but so far, great returns for Kansas City. I'm with you. This is a compelling matchup. Sunday night piece, by the way.
Nationally televised Sunday night football games, last couple of weeks we've been spoiled.
Yeah,
bro.
Man.
I mean, you think about Sunday night football with the Chiefs and the Patriots. That was as good, that 43-40 game. as I can remember over the last couple of years, and now you've got another matchup where you get an opportunity to see a classic. How about my number one game of the weekend? I would pay to be in the stadium for this one. Saints have the number one scoring offense in the NFL. The Ravens have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. New Orleans is high octane. Nobody can stop them. Coming off of a bye, 2 weeks to prepare. The Ravens' defense is coming off of a game where it had double-digit sacks.
Best in the sport, man.
Out the Titans. I cannot wait for kickoff. Best offense in the league, best defense in the league. Line it up and let's go.
Yeah, that's my one seed. It has to be, right? Those are two good teams. The Ravens are good. Defensively, have not allowed a second-half touchdown this season. They are excellent on defense. You mentioned the 11 sacks. They had more sacks than their opposing quarterback had completions last week. That's incredible. That is my one seed game as well. Two juggernauts going at it.
I got the Saints and the Ravens 1, the Bengals and the Chiefs 2, Panthers Eagles 3, Texans Jaguars 4, and the Patriots Bears 5th. You had one game in that I didn't. What was it?
My number 4 game of the week is Tennessee at the Chargers. And Tennessee's not compelling. They're not any good. They're boring. They're part of that dumb AFC South. The Chargers, again, have caught my fancy. I'm maybe falling for that same trap. But look at the Chargers. Their two losses against the Rams, who are excellent, against the Chiefs, who are excellent. And they should have beaten the Chiefs in that week one. They had two dropped touchdown passes. That game could have changed hands that way. The Chargers just came off their best performance of the year, throttling Cleveland on the road. They could whisper quiet, stay just a game right behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And all of a sudden, you know, top-heavy AFC West, they could be 5-2 here and really seize control of a playoff spot this week against the Tennessee team that is desperate. So I got them in and that AFC South matchup of Tennessee and Houston out. But I think your case is probably better than mine.
We are going to be getting you set for the weekend in football and for all of the fantasy action that you may have this weekend. Next with our pal Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports right here on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan in 25 minutes. Chad Dukes versus the world right here on your flagship home for the Nats. And, of course, right now the Caps. And nobody talks more Redskins than we do. It's a Redskins Friday. I'll ask a couple Skins questions, as will Danny, of our guest Matt Harmon, who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. But Yahoo Sports fantasy football expert, we always love having on the show, wrote a great piece, the Week 7 Fantasy Power Rankings. Full slate guide, Joe Mixon, this week's top running back play for him. Let's actually start in that Bengals-Chiefs matchup. Seems like you really like Mixon. Who else do you think is a must player in DFS should we target there?
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is a fun column that I get to write every week. I go through and I rank every single game from like a sports betting and fantasy football perspective. And obviously this Bengals at Chiefs game is number one on the list because it has the highest over-under of the week. It's really one of those everybody in the pool sort of games. So, you know, you ask who I like. I mean, everybody, pretty much anybody that's in play here is a really good spot. But one guy outside of just Joe Mixon that I like is actually Bengals tight end C.J. Uzoma, who is a really nice sleeper for season-long leagues right now and also daily fantasy as well. Last week, he ranked 5th at the tight end position in total air yards, 3rd in routes run, and he took 65.8% of his snaps in the slot. And he gets to play a Chiefs defense that has allowed a league high 550 yards to the tight end position. So, I mean, in a shootout type game, and with the tight end position being what it is, this guy's got a really good shot at being a top 10 player at the position.
Let me throw Matt on hold super quick, see if we can clean up the connection just a hair. But yeah, that game, huge over under, highest of the week, I believe, on paper, certainly a huge scoring game potentially there. That week, Cleveland-Tampa Bay is another one with a very, very high over-under. You think a whole lot of points get scored. That's a great technique there to kind of get into those sorts of matchups. Let's go back to the Mattress Row Hotline. Matt Harmon rejoins us. And Matt is, and I mean this with the highest possible compliment, he is a nerd of the highest order. I am a huge fan of dedicated stats and that kind of information. Always helpful for me setting my lineups. Matt, give me some matchups, maybe some players here. I know guys get desperate during bye weeks, so maybe you can't avoid it in season long. But give me some guys that you're actually avoiding this weekend based on a matchup.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to look at this Ravens-Saints game, which I think from a football perspective is one of the ones I'm most excited to watch. But obviously it's that, you know, unstoppable force versus the immovable object type of situation with the great Saints offense going into Baltimore against what's been an unbelievable passing defense. On the rushing side of it, though, Mark Ingram is a guy that, you know, I think from a season-long perspective, you're probably going to end up playing, but I wouldn't look at him too much from a daily fantasy side just because I think there are guys with much higher ceilings. I know a lot of people are freaking out about, you know, Alvin Kamara and his usage in his first Ingram's first game back. But I really think that Kamara could be a key part of this game simply because the Ravens are so good as a run defense overall. I think Kamara could be used as an outlet receiver, and Michael Thomas, I think, will be a key part of that matchup too. Seeing a target on 33.9% of his routes run from the slot. That's the best ratio in the NFL this year. So I just don't think Ingram is going to be too much a part of that particular game plan. And right now too, I mean, I think people want to play Corey Davis because of his volume, but he is a guy that I'm not looking at all this week. I mean, all the peripherals are there with Davis, like in terms of, he's seen a 39% share of his team's air yards. That's fifth most among wide receivers. 30% of his team targets. That's top four. But he's playing with a non-functional quarterback right now, an offense that's not very good. And Casey Hayward has really started to come on. He's allowed just three catches for 19 yards while shattering Amari Cooper and Antonio Callaway the last 2 weeks. So Davis is not a guy I'm totally avoiding.
You mentioned C.J. Uzoma as a guy, year-long leagues, DFS doesn't matter, who you should really maybe start zeroing in on. Give me some other guys on that list for you that you think, as the season continues here, are worth monitoring in the next few weeks, who suddenly you like a lot more than you did a month ago.
I'm actually going to talk about two Panthers wide receivers here, Devin Funchess and DJ Moore. Funchess has played pretty well this year. I think that he kind of hasn't really gotten enough credit the last 2 years for taking two big step forwards. He was a guy that, I'll admit, like in this first couple of seasons, I chart routes for a series called Reception Perception, where I chart how often guys get open against different forms of coverage. He was a really poor performer in his first two seasons, but he's come out and really played strong the last 2 years. Still got volume last week, even with Greg Olsen back in there. He's got a great matchup this week against an Eagles defense that's just been getting ripped up by wide receivers. They allow the second most yards and the most receptions to the position this year. Jalen Mills has been a nightmare. He's on the injury report this week, too. They don't really have the same type of slot coverage with Patrick Robinson moving on in the offseason. So I think he's a guy who can have a big week this week, and then you're really kind of looking at as a every week kind of wide receiver three, especially because I think this Panthers offense is – It's shown what I would say is like the skeleton of a good offense. They just need some more big plays. And one guy that I think could be a part of that is DJ Moore, the rookie, who obviously made two costly mistakes last week. You guys know watching that game in Washington, especially that early fumble. Like, Carolina's just not really a team at this point can come back from a 14-0 deficit. But I like the way the Panthers stuck with DJ Moore last week. He still played on 45% of the snaps and actually ran more routes last week than any other game this season. He is a guy who I really like as a big play slot receiver, somebody that's really good after the catch, and I think he could be a guy who takes some of that big play necessity, and the Eagles are actually 20th right now in allowing explosive plays. So again, these are two guys who could have big weeks here in week 7 and that you're actually starting to be intrigued more and more by as the season rolls on.
Matt Harmon is with us. He knows his fantasy foosball with Yahoo Sports at @MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, I think it's season long here more. I've been 9 different leagues, and I had some investment in guys like Jordan Howard, Kerryon Johnson, investment guys like Marvin Jones, I guess kind of stay with that Detroit theme, where the underusage compared to what we thought and what we're used to is just killing us. And then folks that had Alvin Kamara probably panicking after that first week and the shares of touches and the like. Give me some guys that you say, hey, let's hold on, ride out the storm, and give me some guys that say, yeah, maybe we can just cut bait.
Yeah, I mean, those are some really good examples right there. You know, my longtime mentor in the industry, Sigmund Bloom, always talks about the assumption of rational coaching, that we, as we're taking these players, we want to paint the best case scenario for this usage. But, I mean, look no further than the news today of Mike McCoy getting canned in Arizona. The assumption of rational coaching is no guarantee. We are at the mercy of how these guys are going to be used. And one player that I think I'm just kind of given up on right now in terms of the running back position is Aaron Jones. I mean, people always want to say that talent wins out, and Jones is clearly really good no matter what advanced metric you look at. Just, I mean, watch the frigging games. The guy is obviously very, very good at football, but it just doesn't matter in a backfield that wants to split it up three ways. Jamal Williams is still, you know, he's not exciting at all, but he moves the offense when he gets the ground, when he gets the ball on the ground, and is obviously they value his pass protection very highly. You can dispute that or not, but it doesn't look like things are going to happen with Jones as the best, even though he is the best pure runner right now. So he's a player that I think is more just a low bench stash, maybe even a guy that you think about cutting for a player like E.O. Smith, who I do think has a locked in role with the Falcons offense. I think this guy's really, really good. And obviously he's just in a potentially high scoring offense every single week, especially when they're in the dome like they are this week. And one guy who I think people are starting to get a little worried about, but that I'm willing to hold on to, is TJ Yeldon. Obviously Leonard Fournette out another week. If you just look at his carries the last three games, they've gone down every single contest. He's still running well, getting over 5 yards per carry the last two. But I mean, the issue has really been game scripts, as Jacksonville's just gotten killed the last 2 weeks, losing by a combined 49 points to the Chiefs and the Cowboys, which was, you know, still one of the most stunning results of the year. But he's still averaging 5 catches for 48 yards in every game dating back to week 3. And Houston, I think, is going to get smashed in Jacksonville this week. You know, they give up 18 more quarterback hits than anybody else in the NFL. So this is a week where I think TJ Yeldon should get fed the ball on the ground. He's a player I like as a contrarian playing DFS this week, and somebody that, as long as Leonard Fournette is out, I'm not panicking about his usage at all.
Matt, you're fantastic. Great information. Love all your work. Thanks so much for the time, buddy. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And good luck to everybody this weekend.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports. You should be following him. He is a great follow, and he's got great nuggets all the time. At @MattHarmon_BYB. We'll make our Redskins-Cowboys predictions next. Chad Dukes versus the world in about 15 minutes. Another chance to win $1,000 in the cash flash is 20 minutes away right here on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruye here from my friends at Lending Club. There's a little game. It's played by the people that profit off of your debt, credit card debt. It's a game you can't win. They include this breakdown. Basically, they show you. They're showing you. Basically, throwing right in your face. Hey, keep paying the minimum, guy. You've been paying that debt off for decades, bleeding you dry. That's right, decades. Lending Club wants to help you. Let them help you. Consolidate that debt or pay off those credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to the bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to Lending Club. Tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan, it's automatically deposited right into your bank account in as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform. Over $35 billion, people, in loans issued. Here's what you do. Could not be easier. Go to LendingClub.com/Danny. Check your rate in minutes, and you can borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/Danny. LendingClub.com/Danny. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Final few minutes of our Redskins Friday ramp up to the Cowboys on Sunday. It's Dallas week. So it sounds like no Paul Richardson, according to Nick Ashew's breaking news there, which would mean no Crowder, no Richardson. That's a whole lot of Maurice Harris, and time for Josh Doctson to make a play. Hey, Josh, it's now or never, buddy.
Whenever you're ready, pal.
It is officially the time where we don't have any reason other than you just not being good enough to go out there and to put up some numbers. Alex Smith's got to throw the ball to someone. Now, that someone's going to end up probably wearing a running back number out of the backfield or a tight end's number. But Doxson, right now, dude, Richardson is hurt. Crowder is hurt. It's you. It's Maurice Harris. It's Michael Floyd, who most people wouldn't recognize if he was sitting on their lap. They may sign someone else to play in this game as a sixth wide receiver who plays special teams. Go make a play. Run some routes. Get open. Act like a first-round pick for 3 hours. Remember, his debut came, 2 catches, 57 yards, week 2 against the Cowboys in a rookie year that was lost thereafter with an injury. He caught the home run ball that should have been a touchdown but wasn't. Please, if not now, never. It's your week, man. They need you. Go do it.
Without question. This is a difficult matchup. This is. And the Cowboys, to me, are a better version of what the Redskins are or aspire to be. In other words, this is, you know, the way that they want to run the football, be physical, blah, 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 all the, you know, the old school stuff. Well, the Cowboys have a better offensive line, and they got Zeke Elliott. And the Redskins have a guy that they signed in the middle of the preseason and an offensive line that, as we just talked about, isn't quite as good as what Dallas has. They have hit the quarterback damn near 40 times this year, Grant. So they've got plenty of sacks. They are towards the top of the league in that, tied for sixth, I believe, with 18. They get after the passer, and they do the things that have befuddled the Redskins each of these last several times. This, to me, means you've got to not let them get into the obvious passing downs. You can't do it. You can't live that way against this club. That means dynamic offense, whether that's passing on first down, whether that's running well on first down, whatever it is, you've got to have the entire playbook at your disposal as often as possible to keep Dallas off balance. If you're predictable at any time, I think they feast on you. I really do.
Yeah, they want to pin their ears back and go. But you also cannot fall behind. I mean, you can't fall behind anyway. I guess I'm just reiterating something that's obvious every week, because Alex Smith is your quarterback, is not going to lead you back from down 2 touchdowns. But, Danny, Paul Richardson's the one guy they got that can get behind defenders. Now, maybe you can operate with Vernon Davis at tight end like you did last week when he made your 2 longest catches of the game. But those weren't 47-yard throws. I mean, that wasn't home run stuff. That was a 22 and a 21-yard grab where he was wide open with no one around him, one of which went for a touchdown. For whatever reason, they didn't go back to the well on those looks to Vernon Davis. Maybe that's what they're going to major in this week, is some matchups, middle of the field, designing him and Jordan Reed some isolation and man coverage on some wheel routes and stuff. We've seen that in the past where Kirk Cousins dropped those balls into the bucket along the sideline to Davis, who's working on a linebacker. I saw that Sean Lee was practicing his expected.
Looks like he's going to go, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to help the Cowboys a whole lot, both in terms of run stuffing and covering tight ends, because everyone's assignments change a little bit when he's on the field. But there is a built-in excuse here in some way. People can roll their eyes if they want to after the fact when we say the Redskins' offense didn't really do anything yesterday. Well, you don't have Crowder and you don't have Richardson. Those are your two best wide receivers. They just are. You're down to Maurice Harris and Josh Doxson, basically. Now, you're going to have your best weapon in Jordan Reed. It is time to use him. Barry Sperluga wrote a great piece in the Washington Post about Reed playing in 6 straight games for the first time in his several years, and he's being used less. And his point is, why? What are they doing? Well, it's time to target him 12 times. And if Chris Thompson plays, he'll get 7 or 8 targets, is my guess. But this is where Jay Gruden makes a lot of money to devise a scheme here where you can still move the football. They were able to do it over the last few years. One thing, even if you want to knock Cousins for the turnovers or some of the things he did poorly, and there were plenty of them to pick from, they always moved the ball when they had injuries. No Jackson, no Reed in games. They somehow hung 30 on the Vikings when they were a great defense. They got to find a way this Sunday.
This is a scheme it up game. This is an earn your paycheck game. I'm 100% with you. It's easy to scheme it up when you're Brian Billick and you go, well, one side is Chris Carter, the other side's Randy Moss. Let's see what we can get done. It's a lot. Anything works. Whatever you draw out of the hat's going to be effective. Not so this week. This reminds me, for so many years, to use a basketball analogy, you know, when, let's say, for the Wizards, they're playing against the team with an undersized center. Well, the Wizards didn't have anybody that could take advantage of that guy, right? They're not best served going down into the post with Marcin Gortat or, you know, back in the day, Kevin Duckworth, whoever the hell else, right? you can beat the Cowboys through the air. I think you can expose them. I think the secondary, minus Byron Jones, is just okay. You don't have the weapons to do that. That, to me, is where the advantage could be, and it's where it will be for some teams. It's where I think Dallas is going to end up have their undoing, where they're going to have to get in a shootout and they won't be able to match with somebody like a New Orleans or someone like that that'll find a way to expose the secondary. Their secondary can't be exposed this week, I don't think, because I don't think you can block it up. I don't think you can have guys that can run free. I don't see Michael Floyd and Mo Harris being the putting the fear of God, Rod Marinelli and company. That, to me, is a significant advantage for Dallas this week. I really think so.
My prediction, Cowboys 20, Redskins 17. I would have gone Washington if they were a little bit healthier. I do think that they are going to beat the Cowboys this season, so maybe that'll have to wait until Thanksgiving. But these two teams are very closely matched. I think the Redskins have become a little bit of a poor man's version of Dallas in terms of their running game and a mobile quarterback who can operate with some keepers and some read options, an athletic passer in Alex Smith. He won't turn the ball over. Dak Prescott normally doesn't either. I think the difference is just that now, basically, what the Redskins had as an advantage on the outside at receiver is watered down to not having anything, just like Dallas, that can make plays outside the numbers. I think Dallas's defense is a hair better, and I think they win for that reason.
Dallas 20, Redskins 16. Only difference between my prediction and yours is the Redskins don't get to the end zone twice, and it's going to be exasperating. It's a lot of field goals, a lot of settling. But I'm with you. I think Dallas is a better version right now of Washington, especially without those wide receivers. No Crowder, you can deal with it. No Crowder and no Richardson. I just don't see it happening. Hope I'm wrong, by the way. It would make for a great Monday show if the Redskins were able to do it this week, man. It would be a huge win to get to 4-2. Huge.
Don't Tim settle, boys. Don't Tim settle. I'm just glad we got to do some of this show together.
Buddy, it was in doubt. It was in doubt.
We persevered. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next.
He is up next. He will do the show on how David Price pitched so well in 3 days' rest. This is a changeup. Dukes has a theory. 4.5 hours of Redskins Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.